to create a new permanent position which would be responsible for complex financial, technical, and statistical analysis related to the city's health fund. It involves supporting the health fund. Currently, this position had been in the financial planning section of OMF, and given a staff change, it was more appropriate to move it and to reclassify it at a lower level, but make it full-time. We're creating the position through this ordinance, and then subsequently through the budget modification process in fall, we'll be moving the money that exists out of the health fund to fund the position. Any questions?
Questions from the commissioners? Thank you, David. Do we have a sign-up sheet for this?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this specific issue? It's an emergency ordinance. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 987.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with the State of Oregon to accept a $75,000 transportation growth management grant to partially fund an update of Portland Bicycle Master Plan.
Second reading, call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 988.
Mayor?
Yes.
Could we read 988, 989, and 990 together?
Yes. Please read those three.
Okay. 988, amend Portland Water Bureau Customer Service Administrative Rules. 989, amend code to clarify duties and responsibilities of the Portland Water Bureau. 990, repeal ordinances that gave authority to the Portland Water Bureau's chief engineer to approve, accept, release, or dispose of easements and other real property interests.
And we have our crack Water Bureau staff here to explain all of this.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, commissioners. Our being here today is the combination of work that started.
Could you state your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. I even told Kathy, be sure she does that when she has a chance. Michael Mack, Senior Management Analyst with the Portland Water Bureau. We're here today as the culmination of work that started in November of 2006 when the City Council transferred from the Revenue Bureau to the Water Bureau the customer service responsibilities for water, sewer, and stormwater billing. And so I started at that time working on what I thought would be a single piece of legislation to bring to you that would reflect that return. And here, about 20 months later, we've ended up with three pieces that you have before you today. It's a volume of work I couldn't have worked on alone, and I want to thank the Water Bureau's principal financial analyst, Ann Conway, for her historical knowledge, despite her young age, and sharp eye, and Development Services Manager Cindy Dietz for coordinating the input from the Water Bureau's Engineering Services Group. In the process of reviewing the code, we discovered a number of inaccuracies. For example, Metro was referred to by its old name, Portland Metropolitan Area Local Government Boundary Commission. You can see why they shortened their name. But it's not only that reference that was incorrect, it was also that it was out of date, since Metro no longer approves connecting properties outside the city of Portland to the city's water system. That approval is given by you, the council. We also found that the code contained an inaccurate description of the Bureau of Water Works. So we were using this opportunity to not only accurately define its structure and functions in code, but also refer to it by the name by which it's most commonly known, the Portland Water Bureau. As word got around that we were reviewing some of the code language describing the role and responsibilities of the Water Bureau and relating in particular to water rates and charges, it became clear that it was a good time to look at Title 21 pertaining to water in its entirety. It was a good time to give a good house cleaning to removing archaic or vague language, correcting references to other code sections, and in general, get making code reflect reality. Then the Bureau of Environmental Services decided it was a good time for them to review Title 17 related to sewer user charges and giving it a house cleaning too. Now that wasn't an easy task, and I want to thank Dan Vizzini from BES for coordinating his Bureau's work in this project. I also want to acknowledge the input I received from customer service staff and its leadership team, as well as the in-depth legal advice received from city attorneys Ruth Spetter, Terry Thatcher, Shane Abma, and Pete Casting. What you see in two of the three items before you was the result of tremendous collaboration that brings unity to city code and customer service policies related to the manner in which the city charges for water, sewer, and stormwater services, makes adjustments, applies credits, and collects delinquencies. Uniform language in both Titles 17 and 21 removes doubt about when adjustments can be made and for how long. Three separate sections addressing who's responsible for paying a water and sewer bill have been combined into one. Vague references to customer are replaced by terms more appropriate to the responsible parties to which we're referring, those being ratepayer, water user, sewer user, property owner, account holder. One of the two items I just mentioned is a resolution amending customer service policies. As you know, a resolution goes into effect immediately upon your adoption. Because the policies reflect proposed language contained in the ordinance amending city code, which will go to second reading next week, we'd like to ask that the resolution be carried forward until next week as well. In addition to amendments related to rates and charges, the proposed code changes to Title 21 include a number of amendments related to water delivery and the regulation of service. I'll mention a few of them. The decision-making roles of the administrator and chief engineer are more clearly defined. For example, we are giving the Water Bureau administrator a role in the purchase or sale of real property, something that had been previously given solely to the chief engineer. Related to that, the third item before you today repeals the two ordinances pertaining to easements and real property because the responsibilities delegated in them have been refined and added to code. We've added clarity to the process of adding new water service where a change in size or location is requested. We've proposed allowing a one-year extension of temporary irrigation water use for a government agency project occurring within or adjacent to the city's right-of-way. We've proposed requiring property owners who have water service in a basement in the right-of-way to install a waterproof vault that separates metered water service from other building infrastructure, including electrical panels, wiring, and equipment. We have proposed language that's considerably more concise than what currently exists related to the distribution of water to individuals outside Portland city limits and to wholesalers by contract. How concise? Eight sections were reduced to two. We've clarified the city's authority to apportion water during periods of water shortages should they exist. We've repealed the section of code language that gave the commissioner in charge the authority to adopt rules. It's not because we don't like you, Commissioner Leonard. It's just that that authority is generally given to the council as a whole and can be delegated to bureau directors and not given individually to a commissioner. So in April of this year, the council granted rulemaking authority to the Portland Water Bureau administrator. Similarly, language related to rule enforcement has also been repealed because it was also added to code in April as well. And finally, we're following BES's example and adding language requiring Water Bureau employees who go onto private properties to read, inspect, or test meters to wear official identification and produce it upon request. So my introductory comments regarding the three items before you have been pretty general. I have with me here at the table Principal Engineer Darren Kipper and Customer Service Director Kathy Cook, available to answer any questions you might have. And Dan Vizzini from BES is in the back, available to help you as well.
Michael, what does this mean to the average water user in terms of how it will affect them directly?
Well, one of the things that we found is the code has been confusing in some cases between Title 17 BES and sewer rates and adjustments, for example, and Title 21 and adjustments. So what we're doing is eliminating those conflicts and making it easier for staff to understand that when someone calls for applies for an adjustment, that they know currently that the language says we'll go 3 years from the date that an error was recognized. We're now, and so we would find staff going back 7 years, perhaps, going from the current billing system into the old billing system and trying to determine where an error might have occurred, to making it simpler for staff and also, for I think, for our customers to know that if you apply for an adjustment today, that we will go back into your record 3 years from today and make an and review it for an adjustment. I think that's an example of how it clarifies things for not only for staff but especially for our customers.
Other questions? Mr. City Attorney, they've asked to have this resolution rather than voted on today held over to next week. Is there any particular requirement for us to take in order to do that?
No particular requirement. It would you could just hold it over for 1 week so that it can be considered with the ordinance. One question I did have, if the intended objective is to have the changes to the administrative rules as carried forth by the resolution coincide with the effective date of the emergency non-emergency ordinance,
right.
You might want to add a further resolved paragraph to the resolution saying that those changes take place or take effect 30 days after passage. And I can work with staff to draft up a paragraph, and that amendment could occur.
We could do that next week?
We would do that next
week. Okay, nice. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, folks.
So I just want to say I really appreciate all of the, not only the hard work you guys have put forward on this, but, you know, Mayor Potter, as you recall, we had quite a discussion when we transferred the customer service section over, and Kathy Cook has just done really a phenomenal job. I could not be more impressed in the work of Darren. And I am almost embarrassed to say this, but I'm in my 31st year of working for the city. And I've said this in more than just this forum, and I've worked with some pretty stellar organizations and people in 31 years, and the Water Bureau takes second to none of them. Very proud of the work you do.
Did we have sign-up sheets for those three?
We had one sign-up for all three. And one person signed up, Veronica Bernier.
She was here.
She is.
She's there.
Oh.
Good morning, Council. Good morning, Mayor Potter, Commissioner Randy Leonards, Commissioner Dan Saltzman, and our newest Commissioner Nick Smith. Nick Fish, sorry.
I've been called worse. Thank you.
Sorry about that. And Commissioner Sam Adams back in your seat. Good. Looking well this morning. Good. It's nice to see you all here. Council works best when everybody's all here and present, and I'm happy to see you. Right? It's a good time of the year, and it's nice and warm outside, and we're all enjoying the weather. The reason I'm up here basically is to speak to the water issue, just to bring it into a little bit more public focus. We're all aware of the hot weather. We're all aware of the impact of it on our city. As regards to the future, I would generally support these issues with just a few regards. Regarding the water, my uncle, Bob Bernier, was with the Department of U.S. Naval Services, the water department in San Francisco City and County for over 21 years. He retired from the Department of the Navy Water Resource Board, and he taught me a lot about water. That was Hetch Hetchy Water System. You know we're on the Bull Run system. Okay. That's San Francisco City and County. Regarding Multnomah County, we have a very different bureau, and you understand that. I would support this generally with just a few reminders. As regards the diameter of the pipes that you see, the PVC pipe coming through the kind of light, they're light blue aqua pipes. The ones we noticed out, that I noticed out near 22nd and Gleason yesterday, were about 26 to 30 inches in diameter and about a half inch margin maybe. It's a little big. I've seen these go in before, and what happens is it shifts the water balance in the city just a little bit. So I would like to see the Department of U.S. Seismic Geological Survey coordinate a little bit with the Water Services Board in reworking this before it comes to a total vote. I think U.S. Geological Survey has a lot to do with what's happening with water in the larger realm of things, okay? That's one thing. The other thing is regarding the consumer intake of water during the summer months, there's no limit on it. People water their lawns as much as possible. I'd like to see that continue, you know, to go on into the future with regard to Commissioner Leonard's group. You indicated you only use tap water. I'm assuming you still, you know, support that.
Slowly.
Well, slowly, right. Well, in my hotel, I have to run the tap water 2 minutes before I can drink it. About 2 minutes, because just to clear the pipe. So you get a general idea. The water is different everywhere, and we need to get a stable water board. Okay, that's all I have to say. Thanks.
No further testimony. Items 989 and 990 are non-emergent, and they move to a second reading next week, as does item 988 will be heard next week as well. Please read item 991.
Did you want to do the 985 item? The staff
is
here.
Yes, is there a staff?
That one? Okay.
Please have them come forward.
Pay claims of Deborah J. Darko.
Mayor, members of the council, my name is David Jorling. I'm in the city attorney's office, and please excuse my informal attire here. I found out that you had some questions about 5 minutes ago about this settlement. With me is Deborah Lytle, the claims adjuster that was on the case, and also Marcia Evans from the Park Bureau. And I understand you have some questions about this settlement, so we're here to try to answer those, if possible.
Very briefly describe the nature of the settlement and the reason why you're recommending to the city to...
Okay. This is a former city employee. I don't want to go into the medical aspect of her settlement since we're on public record here, but she had a compensable claim and she also had a denied claim and another of other claims that were pending. And it was suggested through risk management that we mediate this case in light of the significant exposure just on the accepted portion of her claim alone. So we had a mediated settlement with a workers' comp judge from the hearings division of the Workers' Compensation Board, and we arrived at a settlement for $87,000. Just by way of example, why that makes sense in this particular case is on her accepted claim, she would be entitled to vocational rehabilitation. Those typically run about $40,000. And sometimes claimants want to have the money rather than the program, and that was one of her motives for this settlement. Another aspect of it is she would be entitled to permanent disability benefits if she had the accepted claim and the denied claim was ordered accepted. In the amount of about $67,000. And so it was thought that would, given her motivation to settle and to have a lump sum settlement and our motivation to limit the city's exposure to a specific amount, we arrived at this mediated settlement. And both risk management and my recommendation and the Park Bureau's recommendation is that we accept the mediated settlement. The mediator was advised that, and the claimant's attorney was advised, of course, that it was subject to City Council approval.
Okay, questions from the commissioners? Thank you, folks. That's all.
Thank you very much.
Is anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Is there anyone here who wishes to address this specific issue? It's an emergency. Call a vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read 991.
Change filing deadline date for documents to be included on the council agenda.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Gary Blackmer, Portland City Auditor. This agenda item is about agenda items. In accordance with the city charter, my office prepares the agenda. And in most other jurisdictions, however, the mayor or the executive prepares the agenda. And I think one of the issues around why my office does it in this form of government is to decentralize some of the authority, because controlling the agenda can control the legislative process. So my office, being independent and impartial, works very hard to do all that's necessary to make sure that the agenda is done in a balanced and fair way. So we work with you and your staff and with your bureaus to put it all together in a thorough and accurate manner. I think the other important reason that my office has this responsibility is the agenda is one means of accountability. It allows the public to know what's happening in terms of council deliberations. And to that degree, we really work hard to get that information out there in as full a manner as possible. So the more notice we can give to the public on the things that you're deciding upon, the more informed they can be and the more they can understand the issues that you face. So we work with you also to prepare an ordinance that kind of sets forth a framework so that we have a consistent and fair manner to manage that agenda. And what we would like to do is amend that code today to move the date back one day for accepting, move up forward one day, I'm sorry, for accepting items for the agenda. Currently it's 5 o'clock on Thursdays, and we would like to move it to 5 o'clock on Wednesdays. We are finding that with the new responsibility of putting the council agenda items online has added a significant number of staff responsibilities, and many of the responsibilities are sequential. So it's difficult for us to perform all the tasks to review the documents that are submitted to us and prepare the agenda with essentially one business day from Thursday at 5 o'clock till Friday at 4 or 5, because we do want to get you the materials in time that you can study them over the weekend and all your free time so that you're prepared to vote on it. So let me kind of quickly walk through, just at a high level, what I've handed out to you in terms of the process that we go through with each agenda that we prepare. As items come in, Carla Moore Love, the council clerk, reads and reviews each one to make sure that the following items are correctly entered. And we do this not just because we think it's a safe thing to do, it's because we frequently find them missing or in error. So the city attorney signature being present, whether code changes have been previously reviewed for consistency and accuracy before being submitted to city council, whether authorizing signatures from your offices or the bureau head are present, whether the appropriate agenda date is on the form, whether the Portland policy documents box is checked and there is reference to Portland policy documents and how that will be treated with this agenda item, whether the financial impact statement box is completed, whether this is to be placed on the consent or regular agenda, whether it's an ordinance or resolution and how it's formatted so that it's appropriate, whether exhibits or reference materials are indeed attached to the materials that we receive, whether three original contracts with the correct contractor name and dollar amount and copies of the contract are attached to the distribution copies that you examine, because we do find that they're not always consistent, either name or dollar amount, and that titles are reworded to make sure that they're clear and brief if we don't receive them in that format. If it's an emergency, we make sure that the emergency clause is on the ordinance and that we receive the 10 copies that we distribute to you and to our archives and other places. So once we've done all those checks, then we go through to assemble those documents into an agenda document with essentially a sequential listing. If someone comes in and says, I don't know if this is going to be on the agenda or not, we can't sequentially start our work because the agenda has sequential numbers on it and we can't skip a number. So in many of our steps need to be held back until we really resolve the agenda. We go through a series of checks to, once we've got that rough draft of the agenda document, and the reason why we go through these checks is we don't want to have to force you to come back and vote again if for some reasons, you know, it was not properly prepared. If it's a matter of a deadline or a contentious issue, I think the last thing you want to do is have it come back again for another vote. So that's routinely what we've been doing over the years to prepare the agenda. On the back side of that sheet, in bold, you'll see all the additional steps that we've been performing for the past year in order to get it online. And that requires us to obtain the electronic version of these documents and to make sure if we don't have them that we contact your offices to get the electronic versions. We have to put those in an order and in folders according to the agenda item number and make sure that we've got all the proper documents in there. And then we move those into the necessary place where we can link it up with the website. We before we do that, though, we have to scrub all these documents because we actually get documents that have track changes on, which you may be familiar with in Microsoft Word, or there's actually comments in it. And we need to make sure that those are not in the online version of documents that is posted to the web. So we have software that we have to go through and make those corrections. Once that's done, then we start. We finalize the format of the agenda, put the links in. We post it. We give. We distribute. We make available the 10 copies for your offices and others, and then we basically make it available on the web. So all that stuff that we've been doing additionally for the past year, we've tried various ways to streamline it, and we simply can't. It's a matter of the sequences that we have to go through that we can't shorten any of those. And so we've tried to be very accommodating to your offices in accepting things and correcting things that we receive, but that becomes more and more difficult as these agendas get longer and we only have the same one day to process it. So what we would really need is additional time. Thursday afternoons are occasionally taken up with council sessions, so we don't necessarily have a half a day that we could provide, you know, moving it a half a day even. So really, from our standpoint, making it one day earlier, Wednesday at 5 p.m., is the best way for us to manage the agenda, make it available to the public, and make sure it's done accurately and appropriately. So before you is that change to the code to make the filing deadline Wednesday at 5.
Questions?
Well, I certainly want to do whatever we can to make sure that the conditions you described are addressed. I'm concerned, but I have to tell you, I'm also concerned that this is the first time I've heard that. Maybe you've talked to the others and I missed you. I don't know, but it's the first time I've heard it. I'm very committed, I hope you know, as I have been since I've been here, when you have an issue, to work it through.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't my preferred way of doing that, is actually having an ordinance prepared and given to us, because it strikes me that there is the possibility of a variety of solutions to this beyond shortening the deadline. I don't know how often that happens, that ordinances are filed on Thursdays. I know we have done it.
Me at the deadline?
Yeah.
All the time. I mean, it's not just, we have five offices and many bureaus that are submitting things. When we sent a memo out to emailed it to you and your execs asking for comments on this proposal, and we heard nothing.
Well, that's different than what my staff has showed me. I'm looking at an email sent to mm-hmm. you, Gary, July 7th from Ty.
Mm-hmm.
To you,
mm-hmm.
an email exchange.
Right. No, this was 2 weeks earlier that we sent an email out.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm just saying the first time my office was aware of it, we did that, you know, as you know, he offered proposed solutions. I guess what I'm saying is I don't know how the rest of the council feels about this, but again, I want to reiterate, I don't want to just say to you no. I mean, that's, you're identifying a problem. Every time you have identified a problem with me, I have tried my best to sit down and come up with a solution. Just off the top of my head, I mean, if bureaus are not focused that this has an undue impact on you, I mean, I know, I think the council would, I would hope, agree that we send directives to the bureaus that where they know they have agenda items coming up, they send them to you as early as possible. That's probably not happening now because I don't think anybody was aware of the impact. And there may be other ways that we can address this, and I'm very happy to talk with you about, including if it means staffing.
Well, and I guess from my perspective, I mean, if you've talked to your staff about issues around agenda items being incorrect or late, we have worked really hard with all of your staffs to work around those problems.
You guys have been great. Your staff is great. Your staff is, there's no issue about that. I mean, your staff is excellent. The issue is, for me, not that we preserve the right to file at 5, because I think we can do a better job hearing your concerns, filing earlier some issues we know that are coming. I don't think people are focused on it right now. The issue for me is those occasional times when something actually comes up. I remember, for instance, 1 year filing an ordinance by Friday at 5, and we just made it to fund the women's emergency shelter. People were sleeping out on the street in the winter, and we were able to get it in by 5 and heard it the next Wednesday. That would have, if this was in effect, it would have waited another week that women would have been sleeping.
Well, you have a 4/5 option. You have suspending the rules option. There are several options for extraordinary cases.
I'd love to sit down with you with the council's support and talk to you about, work through. But I think there's a better way to approach this than just you developing the solution and coming in here. I think we should work together and see if we can't find a solution that works for all of us. And maybe you're right. Maybe we end up as agreeing on this, but this feels a little bit like you've made up your mind and brought it in and said, this is the deal. And I'm looking at the exchanges with my office, and you weren't real open to hearing any suggestions. And that's, I don't think that's the best way to try to solve this. I want to solve it.
Right. Well, and I have to say, we did not get good responses from your offices. We got,
including this exchange from Ty?
Right. I mean, what we saw was an ignorance of what we do, to be honest.
Well, but,
I mean,
Gary, you have
blunt.
To come explain it to us. I mean, that's what I'm saying is if you came.
Your offices work with us regularly and understand all the problems that we encounter. So I
think that's, I mean, I want to, and they want to, but I don't think that's accurate. I mean, I think we need to sit down and hear that so we can work through this. But I
got from the execs no invitation to talk to them about it. All I got was essentially a decision that's not acceptable to us.
And I'm happy, and I'm saying we don't work for the execs. They work for us.
Well,
and I'm here to
that
tell you
was
that
I thought the venue where we would hear something, and we didn't.
But I'm here to say that I'm committed, and I'm sure my colleagues are committed to making a direction that's different than what you heard up till now, that we sit down.
Well, it's what we've encountered, and we basically said, you know, we've looked at all the different ways that we could produce this, and we really don't see a way that, I mean, you can say that your bureaus need to get their things in as early as possible, but you know that over time it's going to creep back. It's going to end up being the deadline is the deadline. So that initiative to be good and help the auditor is great for a while, but people change chairs and new people come along and we end up essentially at the same place again. So to me, for equity and appropriateness, we need to set a clear deadline. And we can't just say it'd be nice if you did this because it would make our life easier, because we have tried really hard to do that. And we'll continue to try to do that with deadline.
I'm not going to beat what I've said to death, but that's not what you're not hearing what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying.
I guess what I'm hearing, I don't know how to approach City Council except in a body like this to deal with these issues. Because
well,
trying
make
to
make an appointment, I mean, we talk all the time about things you're concerned about. I don't recall a time I haven't sat with you and said,
I've been waiting 3 or 4 weeks to see the mayor, 3 or 4 weeks, with Commissioner Adams. Other things come up that are a higher priority. I mean, that's what I face in terms of dealing with you, is that, you know, get in line. And my items tend to be low priority. I mean, I appreciate being able to walk into your office, and if you're available, being able to chat, but that's not the way that things normally work around here. So from my standpoint, dealing with the whole council, the only avenue I have is execs. And basically, I'm not invited to be there. When they were informed of this, they apparently discussed it at their meeting and told me that that was not acceptable. That's not, I mean, without even inviting me to talk about all the things we have to do. So I guess, you know, to turn it around, we were trying to have a discussion, and all we got was, that's not acceptable. So
I hear you, and I'm glad that you're bringing this out, because it's not something I was aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So aren't bureaus required to have everything into the commissioner in charge's office a week ahead of time?
That's what I understand. So that's a practice
really,
for a number of them.
Yeah. I mean, I know I myself don't sign documents till Thursday afternoon, and I'm willing certainly to voluntarily commit to just signing them on Wednesday, and I could even support this. I mean, that is pretty amazing, the behind-the-scenes glimpse as to what goes on to get something onto the agenda. But I think this could use a little more discussion. And, you know, I'm prepared to go there. I think there are some legitimate issues that I know Ty raised in the email, I think Commissioner Leonard shares, about, you know, sometimes we come out of a Wednesday meeting and, you know, issues get discussed, and sometimes something, you know, we need some time maybe to file something for the following week, and if we have to do it by 5, especially if we have an afternoon council session, that just won't happen. But
right. And
you know, there may be other avenues like the 4/5 or suspend the rules, but those also present, you know, additional obstacles necessarily to getting something on the agenda. So I, you know, I'm not sure what the rest of council is, but I'm going to make the commitment right now that I will start filing my documents by 5 o'clock Wednesday.
Gary, if I could just jump in, as the new guy here who hopes to have a new permanent exec in place within the next 48 hours, I would welcome a chance to have you come and educate my new exec and me about these challenges. And then I'd like the opportunity to talk to my colleagues about ways that we can address your concerns. And I would just say that if there's a way that we could put this over so we could have that conversation, I think that would be helpful for me.
Just to give you some context, other jurisdictions, when we've been able to identify their procedures on these things, it's, you know, 2 weeks, 10 days in advance. It's, you know, this notion that Thursday at 5 will produce something Wednesday at 9:30 a.m., is an incredibly short timeline for an agenda to be prepared. So keep that in context as well. That
and I hear you, but honestly, it's the first time I've heard that from you. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I mean, I'm not unsympathetic to concerns that you have. And I think I've shown that. And I'm committed, if the council wants my office to be the point to try to work with you and develop something, I'm committed to doing that. I mean, I don't think it's appropriate with you raising those concerns for us just to say, well, that's too bad. And we have to do something to address them. And I'm sorry, the reception you've received up till now, that's not appropriate either. But I'm, now that I've heard it, I'm committed, if you're willing, to sit down and talk about this and see what we can do.
Sure. I mean, from our standpoint, we, you know, we're trying to accommodate what council needs, but, I mean, to a certain degree, it goes back to that. I mean, I understand there are exceptions when you've got a critical issue that needs to turn right around and get on the next agenda, but we also encounter cases where lack of planning on your part doesn't make it an emergency on our part.
Well, and I have to tell you, I feel really bad about that because your staff is always accommodating, great. I have absolutely nothing but the highest praise, and I feel bad that we've taken advantage of that without appreciating the impact. And so I apologize for that on my own part. I just didn't know. So I'm really committed to doing what I can to fix that.
All right. Well, maybe working with our mayor, and as the mayor-elect, I actually would ask the council to have the two of us work with you on this issue in terms of lead, because I think there's some other issues that we can talk about as well in terms of the care and support of the council. And I too want to acknowledge publicly the good folks sitting here and others who make our agenda making and the public distribution of it happen. It's a very difficult job, and if it's okay with council and Mayor Potter, maybe our offices can take the lead on working with you. When you're to defend myself a little bit, when your request came in on this, both my chief of staff and I were out of the country for 2 weeks. So if you wanted our input, it wasn't going to happen during those 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Trotter, I think you've made a good case for something to happen, some change that's necessary. So I think that between the mayor-elect and my office, we can hopefully resolve this issue to the council's satisfaction. I have to say, and I want to tell you how Carla and Sue are great when they're in this room, and they provide tremendous assistance to us. And I certainly appreciate what they do every day. I try to thank either one of them who's at the table. Thank you for when I leave, because I truly appreciate what they do. So if that's sufficient, if we could perhaps, this is would move to a second reading, but otherwise if we could pull it back for a week or two to.
I'm willing to sit down and talk with you about these issues.
Is that okay, the rest of council?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're in recess until 2 p.m. Do you want to work on that?
Gary.
Do you want to work on that?
Thanks very much.
You bet.
We have Tom.
Okay.
Yeah, who's from yours? Austin.
Well, Austin is on vacation right now. So
John?
Yes. John can do it.
Okay.
Good.
I'll tell him to get together.
Good.
Is there?
I didn't know anything about it.
I had heard that it was a problem, but
I was ready.
I didn't have this kind of
thing. Are you ready for Dan?
Yeah, thanks for your
let him down.
Oh, yeah.
I said I had a whole country up there ready for you. I know you were.
I got
that.
Yeah, in
about.
She'll tell you
how many days there is. Is that what we're going to have?
Really?
Crowd, I assume?
Okay.
Hey?
They actually write it out.
I mean, yeah, imagine.
It's the written version.
They're going to go to 2 minutes if it's.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
This isn't a sport.
Yeah.
Just to get the public's business done.
Yeah.
Mr.
Yarbrough
came up. It's the story of my life. I have a copy of
So BHCD had a PowerPoint that they didn't show. There's a PowerPoint on there from BHCD that they didn't show. She brought it in last minute, and I loaded it from here. But nobody showed it. And the communications people that showed it either. Did you notice? Did you see them? The Petersons?
Yes.
No. Mm-mm.